In a logo, twin searchlights shine upward, forming a W. White words read, The Weinstein Company. The three inverted triangles of light blink out, one at a time. In another logo, words appear over a short horizontal line, Hanway Films. Round particles swirl into a circular formation, and a thick line forms a zigzag shape. Words appear in the shape, Screen Australia. A logo appears in opposing black and white block letters, Seesaw. Words appear. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander viewers should exercise caution when watching this film, as it may contain images and voices of deceased persons. Titles appear. The Weinstein Company and Screen Australia present. In association with South Australian Film Corporation and Adelaide Film Festival. Screen NSW and Deluxe. Hanway Films and Cross City Sales. A Seesaw Films production. A quote. Some nomads are at home everywhere, others are at home nowhere, and I was one of those. Robin Davidson. Now with our view upside down and out of focus, a girl walks a dirt path with a yellow dog. Wearing a white dress, she carries a suitcase behind her back. As she nears, our view descends on her sandaled feet. The image dissolves to a roving aerial view of a wide desert. Tracks form dotted, intersecting lines across the barren landscape. On the dirt path, we follow the girl's sandaled feet. Approaching a woman near a parked car, she starts to turn back. Our aerial view of the barren desert dissolves to a wide view of a female figure running toward the distant horizon. The young woman continues to run away, our wide view distorted by rippling waves of heat. Now the young woman, Robin, awakes on a passenger train, sitting across from a black dog. Words appear, Alice Springs, Central Australia, 1975. Robin sits up and smiles at her dog.
Dear sir, I am planning to walk across the Australian desert from Alice Springs to the Indian Ocean, a distance of 2,000 miles.
As she walks through town, one of three men on the back of a truck aims a rifle at her.
The trip will take 6 to 7 months.
Dickheads.
Carrying her luggage, she walks past storefronts, her dog following close behind.
There are herds of feral camels roaming freely throughout Central Australia, and my idea was to capture a few and train them to carry my gear.
She eyes a corner hotel across a dusty street.
Diggity, stay!
The trip wasn't conceived as an adventure, in the sense of something to be proved or conquered. And when people ask me why I'm doing it, my usual answer is why not.
Inside.
I was wondering if you had any work.
What kind of work?
Behind the bar, anything.
Ask the missus, she's out the back.
Got a place to stay?
I was planning on camping somewhere.
Got a tent?
No.
The owner's wife grabs a set of keys, then leads Robin upstairs.
One meal per shift is provided. Rent's deducted from first week's pay. The loo's down the hall.
Great, thanks.
Robin enters the room and has a look around.
I have a dog.
The owner's wife gives her a blank stare, then hands over the keys and leaves her alone in the room. Later, staring at the ceiling, Robin lies in bed with Diggity.
I'd always been drawn to the purity of the desert. It's hot wind and wide open spaces.
At work.
Alone.
Yeah, well, I'll need to train some camels to carry my gear, and then there's Diggity, of course.
You go right ahead, love. Go right ahead.
But mainly I was bored of life in the city, with its repetitions, my half-finished, half-hearted attempts at jobs and various studies.
Robin notices an Aboriginal woman entering the hotel bar.
And I was sick of carrying around the self-indulgent negativity that was so much the malaise of my generation, my sex, and my class.
The owner forces the Aboriginal woman out. Robin watches him slap her and flinches. Now she pulls out a pamphlet for Possil Camel Farm.
The decision to act was in itself the beginning of the journey.
Robin exits the hotel with her luggage and Diggity at her heels. Smoking a cigarette, the owner's wife watches her go.
I believe when you've been stuck too long in one spot, it's best to throw a grenade where you're standing and jump. And pray.
Robin and her dog arrive at a ranch. Standing at a fence, she beams. A sign reads, Possil Camel Farm. Later.
Your plan is ridiculous.
My father crossed the Kalahari in 1935. That wasn't so ridiculous.
Nothing's in the blood.
I'm a hard worker.
The rancher trades a look with his wife.
You can work for me for 8 months. For free. I'll show you how to train them. After that, I give you 2 wild camels. And that will be that.
So, do we sign a contract?
I'm good to my word.
He sips from a mug.
You can stay here. I'll clean out one of the sheds.
That's okay, I'll find my own place. Thanks.
Near a few trees, Robin sets up a modest camp. The rancher leads her past a row of camels.
Mishmish, Khatum, Ali, Fahani, and Abba. And these are my new wild bulls, Tuki and Pap.
What's wrong with him?
Nothing's wrong with him. He's in rut. He's a bull. Those other males are bullocks. These are still bulls. Yamaya. In rut season, they become extremely aggressive. Very dangerous.
He doesn't look very dangerous.
He's young. He will learn.
Pulling weeds near a shrub bed, Robin sits back on her heels and wipes dust from her brow. She stands up, then approaches the large camel's pen.
Hey, Tuki. Hey, Tuki.
She reaches up. Behind Robin, the rancher approaches.
So you want to play with the camels?
Now they enter a large pen and approach a sitting camel. The rancher holds a short whip.
Always watch the animal. Watch how he thinks.
Approaching cautiously, Robin goes to put a harness around the camel's long neck.
Let him know who's boss. Come on. Try it again.
Now she leads a tour.
There are 2 species of camel. Neither is native to Australia. Some camels brought into the country were for the Burke and Wills expedition in 1860.
Louder.
Today,
more effort.
There are over 50,000 feral camels across Australia.
Robin shuts off her alarm clock, then feels her brow and looks at the morning sky.
If my trip was inspired by anyone, it would be my father. He'd trekked across East Africa in his youth and was happiest on his own out in the bush.
Now she tends to several camels in the desert.
When I was young, he showed me a tree on our property marked with the letter L by the explorer Ludwig Leichhardt. In 1848, he attempted to cross Australia to the ocean with 7 horses and 20 mules. He disappeared and was never found.
She pets a camel's thick fur, her blonde hair blowing with the breeze.
I remember imagining Ludwig alone in the desert with the animals, and it sounded like a dream.
Back at the ranch, she hangs metal cuffs in a stable, glancing at the rancher who works nearby. Putting her hands on her hips, she faces the rugged man.
Can we talk about my trip? My camels?
Your camels?
Yeah, deal. I've tried to talk to you about it already 2 times.
I need you to get up early tomorrow. I want the camels in by 5.
I've been here for over 8 months now. I don't have to do shit for you.
He glares at her.
You're fired.
I'm going to talk to Gladys about it.
Gladys gone. And I want you gone too. I want all bitches gone from my side.
The furious Robin leaves the shed. On the road.
The early settlers needed beasts of burden better suited to the harsh climate of the outback, so they imported camels. When trains and cars came along and there was no longer any use for them, the camels were set free. But instead of perishing, they flourished. Now Australia has the largest feral camel population in the world. I just needed three of them.
Carrying her luggage on a bicycle, Robin walks the countryside with Diggity. She arrives at an abandoned stone cottage with an open roof. With her dog at her side, she enters the dilapidated structure and has a look around. She peeks through an open doorway to find a tattered cot with a rusted frame. We find a hearth across another room, then look to the sky through the structure's remaining rafters. At an open back door, Robin sits with Diggity.
What do you think, Dig? Home sweet home, eh?
Now she rides her bike to another ranch, where a truck bears the title, Sally's Camels, Sales and Exports.
You must be mad, girlie. You know, that's about 2,000 miles. 6 months of hard walking. Huh? It gets tougher if you get an injury. It's easy enough to get lost. Run out of water, food. You don't have to be unlucky to die out there.
I just want to be by myself.
Wearing a turban, the bearded man eyes her.
Well, we don't train these camels for kiddie rides. We catch them, we sell them.
Robin frowns.
So will you help me out?
I can teach you how to break one. The rest of it, you do in your own time.
Sally opens a gate and a camel trots past. At work.
I went to work for a camel wrangler named Sally Muhammad. He came from a long line of Afghan cameleers.
Robin, arms up. Stand tall, arms up.
He offered me one wild camel for a month's work at half pay.
Shut the gate.
Now Robin returns to the cottage with Diggity. She fills a pot with water, then sets it beside a fire. Sitting near the hearth, she shifts her thoughtful gaze. Above her camping gear, we find a large map of Australia. A long, dark line extends from the middle of the continent to its western shore. Now Robin rides in an off-road vehicle. Two of the jeeps race across a dusty plain, herding a group of wild camels. From the passenger seat, Robin watches the camels trot alongside her. As the jeeps surround a lone camel, a wrangler holds out a rod and slips a rope around the animal's long neck. Later, Robin admires the captured camel, leaning on a rail of its enclosure. Sally joins her at the fence.
You'll have to break, huh?
The young woman beams.
Thanks.
You're an odd girl, Robin Davidson.
The amused older man meets her gaze. Now outside the cottage, Robin washes her camel, with Diggity resting in the shade nearby. A white station wagon arrives, driving up the dirt road. Robin spots the vehicle, then steps around behind the cottage and crouches near the open back door. Diggity joins her, and she gives the dog a hug. Beyond her, the station wagon parks.
Hey, Rob! You can run, but you can't hide!
What are you doing here?
She hugs her friend.
How did you find me?
Well, I asked around. Because there's not too many camel ladies in this town.
I hate that. It makes me sound like a crazy woman.
Hey, come on.
Her friend leads her outside.
Hi.
How you going, Robbie?
This is Peter, Bernard, Annie, and Annie's mate, Rick. He's out from the States.
I love your place. But I didn't realize how big camels are. It's like a cow and a giraffe mixture. It's crazy. God, those things are great. They're beautiful.
Rick, a shaggy-haired young man, anxiously glances aside.
Can I invite us in? Yeah, come in.
Robin leads the group into the cottage.
That's what I have. That's what I don't have. Mostly, I just need money. Money, money, money.
The eternal explorer's dilemma.
Why don't you just shorten the trip?
to the Rock and back. I mean, Tolly and I will come with you. We can chip in.
Yeah, why not?
Have you looked into sponsorship? Like a magazine?
Rick knows lots of editors.
Yeah, I know lots of editors. I could put in a good word for you. I mean, I think they'd think it was fast. I think it's fascinating. So I know they would.
Oh, it's okay. I'll do it myself.
Later, the group chats around a campfire. As the guys debate, Robin's brown-haired friend looks up with tired eyes. Robin sits quietly, hugging her knees to her chest. She watches their mouths move, then locks eyes with her friend and lowers her gaze. Robin gets up. As she steps out, her brown-haired friend and Rick take notice. Standing outside, she rubs the bridge of her nose and brushes the hair from her face. Later, she steps out to her camel.
Hey, Zoe. Hey, girl.
The next day, Rick takes a picture of Robin and her friend.
Kangaroo!
Hey, do you mind?
Sorry, bad habit.
Oh, I am.
She hands Robin a tape.
I may do this. You're a darling. Thank you. You know, your room's still available, Robin.
Robin offers a hug.
Yeah.
Later. Robin watches them drive off. Inside the cottage, she puts the tape in a cassette player.
I know you well enough never to ask why you're doing this, or why you want to do it alone. But I guess if the reason's good enough for you, it's good enough for me. Anyway, I made you a tape for your trip. That old record of your mother's, the one you used to play to death.
She reads a note with an address for National Geographic.
Whatever it is you're looking for, Robbie, find it and come home, okay?
In a flashback, young Robin plays with a yellow dog. Beyond them, the setting sun gleams over a grassy field. Indoors, the yellow dog approaches us.
Dreaming of a sleep.
Robin wakes with a start. In the daytime.
Like I said, it's not possible.
A few weeks ago, I'd heard that Kurt Posell sold his ranch.
One camel! That's all I want! The bastard owed me two!
Sorry, you never mentioned that to me.
The rancher grabs a camel's rein.
Hey, do you even know what you're doing?
I wouldn't use a nose line.
Settle down, you bastard!
Let go of the rope! Get out of there!
The rancher runs out of the pen and Robin enters with her hands raised.
Shut the gate! How are you doing?
She picks up the rope.
Easy.
The rancher watches her approach the camel.
Come on, Dookie. Push, Dookie. Push.
Robin tugs on the rope and the camel lowers to eye level. The animal eases back. Robin removes the rope from around the camel's head, then backs away, brushing her hair from her face. She rejoins the rancher outside the gate.
Do they do that often?
The bulls?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah, all the time. You want to keep your kids away from them, for sure. Come on, Dick!
The impressed rancher studies the camel. Now Robin walks with two camels in tow. Turning back, she beams at them.
And so I'm writing to you in the hope that your magazine will sponsor my trip. I believe National Geographic to be of the highest international repute. The trip will take me through some of the most beautiful and barren country the desert can show. I'm enclosing a map of my proposed route from Alice Springs to Ayers Rock, then on through the Western Desert to the Indian Ocean. I have three camels and one small calf, trained and ready to go. They are perfectly reliable beasts.
Robin reaches out to the calf.
Their names are Dookie,
Bob, Sally, and baby Goliath. I am well aware of the hardship I will be facing, and the first to admit I am remarkably unqualified for such a hazardous undertaking. But this is precisely the point of my journey. I'd like to think an ordinary person is capable of anything. I look forward to hearing from you in the near future. Yours faithfully, Robin Davidson.
As the sun sets, Robin carries a wooden bucket of water to the camels. Hearing something, she turns back. Now Sally and Robin kneel behind a sitting camel. The bearded man unsheathes a short knife, then thrusts. The beast throws its head back and Robin winces. Sally removes two fleshy masses.
No choice. You've seen what happens when one of these bull camels gets his lovely set on something. No stopping him. If you're out there on your own and a wild bull's coming at you, you shoot it. Don't think, you shoot. Understand?
Robin screws up her mouth. Later at a truck.
Oh, I forgot these packages came for you. Oh, there's a letter, too.
Sally hands Robin an envelope from National Geographic Society. Leaving his truck and ambling past the cottage, she opens the envelope and takes out the letter inside. Reading the letter carefully, she slows to a stop near a makeshift camel enclosure. She turns back to the truck.
I got it! I got the money!
A closer view of the letter reveals the words, "Essential condition of the sponsorship, we will be sending a photographer. His name is Rick Smolin."
I mean, I think they think it was fast. I think it's fascinating. So I know they would.
Later, Robin sits at a table, flicking her fingers as the letter bounces with the breeze. She folds her arms and rests her chin on her wrists. Now at a train station, three young girls run out to her.
Hi, Mommy!
Hi, Mom! Say goodbye!
A blonde woman with her hair in a bun approaches.
Hey, come here. Look at you!
Hey, sis.
The sisters hug. Now the children ride with Diggity in the back of a truck. At the cottage, they run to the camel enclosure. With a worried expression, Robin's sister surveys the abode.
Wow.
Robin smiles. Inside, Robin's sister shivers by the fire, nursing a mug. Robin and Sally prepare leather straps.
Freezing in here.
Robin's father notices Rick as he steps inside.
This is Rick, the photographer.
Hi, you must be her father? Sister?
Mm-hmm. Rick notices Sally.
I don't know who you are.
Outside, he unloads his Jeep.
This is obviously for me. This was surprisingly expensive. Inflatable raft. There were flash floods. And...
As the others look on, Rick crouches over a small machine and works its pedals with his hands. He stands upright.
Why would I need an exercise bike?
Oh, it's not an exercise bike. It's a backup generator for the radio in case the batteries fail.
I'm not taking the radio.
Please, Robin, just take the radio.
Wait, you want to die out there or something?
Robin glances at her father and sister. Sally shifts his gaze.
Take the radio, in case.
Okay, I'll take the radio, but I'm not taking the bike.
You know, it's really reassuring to know that my sister won't be alone out there.
Well, I'm only meeting up with her 4 or 5 times.
2 or 3 times. 2 or 3.
Rick smiles tensely. Later, Sally climbs in his truck, finds a rifle, and offers it to Robin.
No, I don't want a gun.
But you will.
Now the camels stand in their pen. A closer look reveals their almost stoic features. As the animals eat, flies buzz about. Robin carries a leather bag out from her hut and sets it on the ground. With hands on her hips, she approaches the camels.
Hello.
9th April, 1977.
Take care, Pop.
Robin hugs her father.
Thanks.
She embraces Sally. She hugs her sister.
If you get in trouble, there's no shame in turning back.
Robin sets off with her camels in tow, blowing a kiss to her family and friend as she goes. They watch her march away down the dirt road.
Bye, Auntie Rob!
Bye, Auntie Robbie!
Bye, Robin!
Bye, Diggity!
The children wave.
Diggity, come on!
Now with Diggity up ahead, Robin walks alone, wearing a wide-brimmed hat. She leads her camels up a hill, each of the beasts loaded with luggage, camping gear, and other supplies. As her small caravan crests the hill, she spots Rick waiting for her in his jeep.
You've got to be kidding me.
Hey!
Keep back looking at me. All right.
Good, good.
And smile? Great. Great, that's great. Hold on, let me get this
other stuff right here.
Robin poses on top of a camel.
Everybody I keep telling about this really can't believe it. 2,000 miles. Is she crazy or something?
Can I find your light a little bit? Face a little. That's great.
Everybody smile.
Okay, what's the camel's name? Bub. Hey.
All right, see you in a month.
Robin watches him drive off, now in the morning. The caravan sets off again, Diggity leading the way.
It's preposterous to imagine I will make it unscathed 2,000 miles to the ocean. But I combat these feelings by thinking of it as nothing more than a series of steps, one after the other. If nothing goes wrong during one day, why should it the next?
With a pencil, Robin marks her progress on a map. Our view glides over the sparsely vegetated desert. Robin crosses a grassy plain.
No more loved ones to worry about, no more ties, no more duties, no more people needing you to be one thing or another, no more conundrums. I'm on my own, at last.
Day 29. Now cars drive through an entrance to a national park. Robin walks her camels along the road. Passing motorists snap photos. She approaches a ranger.
Sorry, campground's full.
It would just be for one night.
Besides, camels aren't allowed in the park grounds.
Why?
Because it's a sacred site.
Hey, camel lady!
Now Robin throws two bags on the ground, then removes the camel's harness. Rick's jeep parks nearby. Later, Robin continues to unpack and they eat a meal.
Figuring 20 miles a day, if that's how fast you're traveling. Determine how long it takes to get to the next town with a mail plane service. And I divide that by 20, and I should more or less be able to figure out when you're going to be arriving. I ran into a group of Aboriginals who were able to point me in the right direction. They just knew where you were. I just said camel lady, and well, I guess there's not really a lot of camel ladies.
I have this ritual I've been doing for the past 5 years where I eat orange before and after when I get off the flight. And this time I was going to do it, but I didn't because I ran out of time. I got back late, and my deli was closed.
Rick takes a bite from his dish.
I love lentils.
Maybe try some with the hat?
A bored Robin poses.
The white really pops against the red of the rock.
And don't worry, I'm shooting on a long lens, so it compresses the distance. It looks like you're standing right in front of it.
Great.
Okay, maybe a tiny smile?
What about honest journalism?
Hey, camel lady!
Children take her picture.
David Burnett says the greatest photographs are motivated by human feeling.
Are we done?
Almost.
She tosses her hat.
Oh no, I thought the hat was good. See you tomorrow.
The sun gleams over a darkened plateau. Now a weary Robin walks with her camels. Up ahead, Rick sits on the hood of his jeep. The shaggy-haired young man pulls out his camera and through the viewfinder notices Robin not wearing pants. He focuses on her underwear. She spots him watching her and drapes a scarf over her head.
A parasite. Go away.
Later. Robin removes a harness from a camel, then a blanket. She throws the blanket aside, then grabs a large satchel. Rick mills about while she sets up camp. That evening, the shaggy-haired young man blows hair from his face as he eats. Diggity sits in front of Robin, staring at her food.
So your father was an explorer, huh?
Not really.
Oh, I thought you said he was.
They said he walked around East Africa, harpooning crocodiles and looking for gold.
What about your mom?
I don't really remember her.
Oh, what happened to her?
She hung herself.
Robin turns on her back, and Rick shifts his gaze. With the light of their campfire flickering on her face, the young woman stares upward. Daytime. Diggity pads along a sand dune in front of Robin and the camels. Rick drives down a dusty road and parks in the distance. He gets out of his jeep, fiddling with his camera. A sandstorm whips supplies everywhere. Robin and Rick scramble to gather them. A camel gets up and Robin goes to pull it back to its knees. Rick pulls out his camera and starts taking photographs. He turns back to his jeep. Now they sit with the gathered supplies. Rick blows off a camera lens.
Could have been worse. We could have been in a small plane flying through a typhoon. That's something you don't want to experience. I was in Irianjaya covering the riots for Time. David Burnett was there. He won the Capra Medal in 73. He's a good friend of mine. And we're trying to land the plane on this narrow strip on the side of a mountain, and the wind kept blowing the wings back and forth.
You just can't stand it anymore. And this whole thing's just some ludicrous, pointless farce. Every day I load a pile of junk. I walk 20 miles. I unload a pile of junk. And you just stand around like some idiot taking pictures of me. And I can't do it anymore.
Robin sits on her heels and hangs her head. Rick inches over and places a comforting hand on her back.
It's okay.
She swats her hand in front of her face, then turns to the photographer. She leans in and kisses him. Now shafts of sunlight burst through the clouds. In the morning, a camel roams near the campsite. Rick lies asleep under a blanket. Robin sits up and looks around. Later, as she unties the camel's reins, one snaps at another. Diggity walks between the camel's legs. Rick pours coffee. He smiles at Robin.
Morning.
He kisses her cheek. She steps past him. He tries to help her with a bag.
You don't have to do that.
So I think I was thinking about staying on for a few days.
Why?
He swats flies from his face while she concentrates on her work.
So I guess I'll see you in 5 weeks.
Okay.
She walks away, leaving him with a confused expression. As he passes, a camel snarls. Now Robin studies a map.
Some people say I want to commit suicide.
or prove a woman can cross the desert. Some are inspired or jealous. Others think the trip is a pointless waste of time.
Naked, she jumps into a round stone tank of water with Diggity.
I don't believe a desire for privacy is to be defined or defended. All I know is when it's just me, my animals, in the desert, I feel free.
As Robin swims, Diggity runs the perimeter of the round tank. She swims across the undulating surface of the pool. Reaching the tank's edge, she props herself up and surveys the surrounding trees. In the morning, Robin shuts off the alarm clock and falls back to her pillow. With Diggity lying at her side, she sits up and gives the dog a hug.
Hey.
She scratches his neck and kisses his face. She looks around and her expression grows concerned. Stepping away from her camp, she searches for her missing camels.
Where are they, Dig?
Our view sweeps across the barren desert hills.
Dookie! Sally! Bob!
Robin marches across the rocky landscape with her dog trailing behind. Diggity lies down in the meager shade of a dry, bristly shrub. Robin lays a scarf over the shrub's twisted branches to give Diggity more cover.
Hey, let me stay here, okay? Okay.
The panting dog watches her walk away. Sharing his perspective, we watch her dip out of view. Later, Robin continues her search, now marching up a gradual incline. She spots her four camels gathered in the distance. Approaching one of the camels, she grabs a stick off the ground. She grabs the camel's rein and whips it with the stick.
Ever do that to me! Don't ever leave me!
She hangs her head. Breathless, Robin presses her forehead into the camel's neck. Later, Diggity spots the returning caravan. Together again, they march across the desert. Now they enter a small settlement of ramshackle buildings, passing Rick's Jeep. With a smile and a wave, the shaggy-haired photographer approaches them, followed by a bespectacled man.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I missed you.
Yeah.
I take it you're the camel lady.
Hi. Thanks for having us here.
You're welcome.
Sorry, can I get you guys to shake hands again?
They oblige.
Great, thank you.
Rick photographs some villagers.
The old fellas can be a bit standoffish with strangers.
Hi, I'm Rick.
Takes a while for them to warm up.
Robin purses her lips. Now she and Rick carry supplies into a small shack. Inside, two twin beds lie pressed together. Robin pushes them apart.
Would you mind not taking pictures?
Man has to do his job.
That's exactly the reason blacks were dumped in missions. Men just doing their job.
11 million readers will see these photographs. I like to think that what I'm doing is a service.
A couple of pictures in a magazine? You think that's really going to make a difference?
Yeah, I do. And you know, if it wasn't for the magazine, you wouldn't be on this trip.
Now a group of older Aboriginal women dance in a line, rhythmically moving sticks in their hands. A woman takes Robin's hand and helps her up to join them. With a smile, the visitor stands at the end of the line, mimicking the other's movements with a stick of her own. She shares a laugh with a few percussionists sitting nearby. Now, amid sandy gusts of wind, Rick snaps photos of Robin walking to their shack. Dark clouds fill the night sky. In bed, Robin rolls over, awake. Looking out a window, she sits up, the soft light of the moon on her face. She looks over her shoulder and notices Rick's bed left empty. In the dim light of morning, Rick slinks back to the shack carrying his camera bag.
You didn't, did you?
Nobody saw me. These great images. Some kind of grieving ceremony.
That was secret business. Get it secret.
Now at Rick's Jeep.
After Malaysia, I have a shoot in Tasmania. I'll check in on this number for messages.
Okay, I should make Warburton in about 6 weeks.
I'll be there.
The Aboriginal women sit in a semicircle, kneading dough. With a furrowed brow, Robin approaches them.
Can I sit here?
One of the women nods, and Robin sits cross-legged with Diggity by her side. Another woman taps a stick against a circular indentation rubbed into the dirt. She locks eyes with Robin.
Husband no good.
He's not my husband.
Inside.
There's an advisor named Glendall living outside Pipalajara. Now he's the last white fella you'll see until Warburton.
Okay, but this is the most direct route though, right?
Yeah, but it's dotted with sacred sites. See, it's forbidden to women, I'm afraid. You'd need an old fella to guide you through.
But the other way is 160 miles out of my way.
If you like, I can ask around. See if there's an elder who would travel with you.
Outside, Robin paces near her camels. The bespectacled man approaches her.
Seems your boyfriend was seen taking photos of secret business.
He's not my boyfriend.
Sorry, can't help you. Their answer is no.
Scowling, he walks away.
Just tell him I'm sorry.
A man in a hat eyes her from a doorway, then turns inside. Now Robin wearily treks along a dirt path. At a new campsite, she starts a fire and prepares dinner. She glances at her camels, then looks over her shoulder and peers across an open plain covered in tall grasses. Chewing her food, she returns to her meal, and our view lingers on her back. She looks over her shoulder again, then turns around. In the distance, three camels plod toward the camp. Robin gets to her feet and studies the animals.
If you're out there on your own and a wild bull's coming at you, you shoot it. Don't think, you shoot. Understand?
The three wild camels break into a gallop, white foam frothing at their mouths. Robin dashes to her gear with Diggity close behind. She ties her dog to a tree while her camels rustle anxiously. As she digs through one of her bags, the wild camels continue their charge. Robin loads her rifle. She takes aim at one of the beasts. The wounded camel stops in its tracks and she loads another bullet. The camel collapses to its knees and she takes aim again. With the remaining camel standing near, the wounded camel topples over. One of the remaining camels rounds toward Robin. She takes aim. A bullet rips through the camel's neck. As the animal falls, she lowers her gun. In a flashback, the yellow dog trots over cracked ground. Leading her camels, Robin recalls the dog. She shuts her eyes and hangs her head. A breeze whips up strands of her blonde hair. She looks to Diggity, who plods ahead of the caravan. We glimpse a camel's footfalls, then the image dissolves to an overhead view of Robin crossing the parched landscape. The fatigued young woman stops and shifts her gaze. Standing at the edge of a cliff, she overlooks a wide, shallow creek. Diggity splashes through the water, and a flock of birds takes flight. One of Robin's camels drinks from the creek, then lifts its head for a look around. Another camel drinks from the creek, and then shakes its head. Robin rings out a sarong, with Diggity now lying on a nearby rock. Across the creek, a car rolls to a stop near a tree. Diggity sits up at attention as several figures exit the car in the distance. Robin watches four older men approach her campsite. Now one of the men tosses a rabbit onto a small fire. Robin sits with the group. A scruffy man addresses her.
Where you go?
West to the ocean.
Urubulga? Big lake?
Yeah, Urupulka.
Too long way. Too long way for you.
Robin and a bearded Aboriginal man share a gaze. Grinning, she eyes his mismatched shoes. Later, she slides a rope around a camel's snout. The scruffy man approaches her.
You got papers, Anna?
Yeah.
Which way?
Along the road.
Too far. Too many slips that way.
Mill, sacred country.
Need old fella.
The scruffy man turns back to his three companions. As they chat, Robin watches them, tending to her camel. The bearded man approaches her. The bearded man sets out. Turning to Robin, he motions for her to follow. Robin glances at the others, then watches her guide continue on ahead. Now, as the caravan crosses a wide stretch of desert, words appear. Day 84. Robin walks with the bearded man. Later, the bearded man gathers branches while Robin prepares a meal. After constructing a simple shelter, he uses a branch to sweep the dusty ground. Setting the branch aside, he turns to Robin's gear and picks up her rifle. Admiring the gun, he takes aim. Far across the expansive desert, the last of the sun dips below the horizon. In the daytime, a small dust cloud whirls past the travelers as they walk a winding path. Later, they wander past animal bones and feathers hanging from the bare limbs of a dead tree. Arriving at an old trailer, Robin stops her camels. She squints at the makeshift outpost. tall, shaggy man steps out, and she shields her eyes from the sun.
Glendale?
Later, Robin and Glendale sit by a fire.
I know he helped me get the money, but you know he doesn't understand that he's part of the problem. He's a nice person, but I don't want him and his cameras and his hopeless romantic notions along with my trip, you know? I can deal with pigs really easily, but nice people confound me. You know, how can you tell a nice person that you just wish they'd crawl into a hole and die? Sorry. It's been a while since I've had anybody to talk to.
Hey, Eddie. He's one of the most respected elders in the community.
Yeah, I wish I could.
Words are overrated.
They share a smile. In the middle of the day, Eddie chats with the other Aboriginal men around a fire several yards from Glendale's trailer. Robin leaves her seat with Glendale and walks over to the bearded man. She takes a seat beside Eddie, then fidgets with her hands in her lap.
Will you walk to Warburton with me, Eddie?
Eh?
To Warburton? Will you walk with me?
Long way, Warburton. Or a little bit long way.
Long way?
Yeah, long way. My shoes, no good.
Okay.
Now Eddie walks in new shoes.
Looks good in your shoes, huh?
Do you think he's up for this? It's over 200 miles.
Him? He'll outwalk the two of us.
Robin starts for her camels and Diggity follows.
Don't forget my telegram.
Glendale holds up a slip of paper. With a rifle in hand, Eddie steps past Robin and Glendale. Robin grabs the reins of her lead camel.
Bye.
The caravan heads off into the desert. An aerial view roves over a road dividing the landscape. As Robin and her companions cross an area of dry brush, the young camel trails behind. Later, the calf stays put as the other camels walk on. Robin tugs on a rope around his neck.
Come on, Golly.
She inspects one of the animal's hooves.
He growls too hot.
Now Robin covers Goliath's hoofs in cloth. The calf rises to his feet and begins to walk.
Come on,
with Diggity leading the way, they press on across a grassy plain. Now Robin gathers a handful of plants. She rejoins Eddie, who offers her a leafy herb.
What is it?
Robin smells the plant.
Should I eat it?
The bearded man shows her a small tin filled with grindings. She takes a pinch of it and chews. Now as Eddie mimes a story, Robin and Diggity lounge on a small mattress. He holds his arms out and pretends to cry. Now Robin leads a camel across the rugged terrain, with Eddie sitting among the gear on its back.
Push, Bob. That's the way.
On the side of a dirt road, the camel lowers to the ground and Eddie steps off. Robin faces the bearded man.
How was it, Eddie?
Manna pika.
Stepping away from her, Eddie stares at something in the distance.
What? Cool.
Robin looks to the dirt road.
White palace.
Where?
Three off-road vehicles head in their direction. Robin returns to her lead camel and yanks at its reins.
Come on, Bob. Stand up.
The vehicles park and tourists step out.
Hold up there, love.
Hey, can we take a photo?
Can I take your photo?
Yeah, gotta take your photo. Can you stop so I can take a photo? Please. Where are you heading?
Thanks, love. How far are you going?
I'm going to the ocean. To the ocean? You're dreaming.
A man stops Eddie.
Jackie Jack. Go photo with a camel, boy. Take a picture, eh?
Jack.
Hey, whoa, steady.
You're a prick.
What's the problem?
Bloody swine.
Eddie confronts the group.
Give me money!
Don't give him too much.
They give him some cash and he returns to Robin with a grin. Now a young kangaroo bounds across a ridge. Eddie raises the rifle and aims steadily at the animal. Later, with the kangaroo slung over Eddie's shoulder, the group treks on. As Eddie prepares a fire, Robin kneels beside the animal. She pulls a knife from her bag. Eddie rushes over and she hands him the knife.
Woman never break the law.
Okay, I won't. Only men do the cutting, I understand.
Okay.
Worm-like grubs writhe in a pot as Eddie stokes the campfire with a stick. In the distance, Rick's jeep approaches. Eddie wakes Robin and points to the vehicle.
Hi.
Hi.
The bearded man stares at Rick.
This is Mr. Eddie Rick.
Rick waves and Eddie continues to stare.
I got your telegram.
Rick reaches into his jeep and takes out a double-barreled rifle. Smiling, Robin takes it from him.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
This is for you.
She hands it to Eddie. As Eddie admires the gun, Rick looks on. Robin beams at the photographer, and he gives a brief smile. Now beyond the end of a dangling chain, the approaching caravan comes into focus. Diggity runs ahead of the others.
Diggity! Stay close!
Eddie walks with his rifle in hand. Beyond him lies a scaffold with the dangling chain, and beyond that, an abandoned shack. The caravan arrives at the abandoned shack. Robin scans the area, spotting a crude tent and a vintage car across a clearing.
What happened to this place?
Nobody here. Everybody all gone.
Rick's jeep pulls up. A skinny man with long, stringy hair steps out from behind the shack. Eddie looks to the vintage car to find an Aboriginal boy climbing out. Another person emerges from the crude tent. Rick has a look around. Later, Robin writes on her map in pencil, her compass lying nearby. Meanwhile, Eddie and Rick talk to the locals. Turning away from the group, Rick looks in Robin's direction. He approaches her, and she glances up from her work.
So, Eddie's very insistent that you take along an elder.
Yeah. I prefer to do this stretch on my own.
Yeah, but it's better to do this stretch with company.
It'll be fine.
You won't find a drop of water. It'll be 2 months' travel and a dead straight track through empty desert. It's lucky to get 6 cars a year along it.
She smiles at him.
I'll be fine.
Would it make any difference if I told you I didn't want you to go alone?
What do you think?
I think you have a problem with people.
She squints at him, and he starts to walk away. Robin returns to her work. Rick stops and comes back to her.
You know, I'm sorry, but I'm driving ahead to Aluna and dropping water drums along the track.
That's almost 1,000 miles out of your way.
Yeah, I know how far it is.
She knits her brow.
Are you sure?
100%. I'll mark the drop points on your map.
Okay. Thanks.
With a quick smile, Robin returns her attention to her map. Rick moves his lips as if to speak, but remains silent. As the locals wait in the back of an open-top car, Eddie talks to Robin. He removes a smooth, triangular stone from his shirt pocket and puts it in her hand. He lays his hand on her shoulder and smiles. Eddie gets in the car. As the car pulls out, Robin waves goodbye and shields her eyes from the sun. Now the caravan marches across a sandy portion of the desert.
Animal lovers, especially female ones, are often accused of being neurotic and unable to relate successfully to other human beings. More often than not, those pointing the finger have never had a pet.
The camels feed on bristly shrubs.
It seems to me the universe gave us three things to make life bearable. Hope, jokes, and dogs. But the greatest of these gifts was dogs.
Robin kisses Diggity on the nose. Now beyond the edge of a rocky desert, we find the caravan crossing a vast expanse of smooth sand. Our view roves over cracked, dry ground. Robin slaps her alarm clock. Later, she sits by a smoldering fire, reading a newspaper and listening to her radio. She starts to dig through a bag at her side, then puts the paper down and sets the bag on her lap for a more thorough search. Diggity lies at her side.
A compass stake.
She checks the pockets of her coat, but finds nothing.
Come on, Dig.
She and her dog set out across the parched flats by themselves. As Robin searches for the compass, she remembers walking through the desert with her father.
Hey.
He gives her a folding compass. She opens it.
Your mother gave me that.
She smiles at her father.
Thanks, Pop.
He puts an arm around her shoulder.
You be sure you look after her.
I will.
Now Robin takes off her coat as she searches the surrounding brush and rocks. Scanning the ground, she holds her blonde hair out of her face. She spots the compass in the dirt, then picks it up and blows it off. She briefly looks up with a sigh of relief, then glances about with an unsettled expression. She starts back through the brush, anxiously searching the area.
Where are we, Dick?
She turns back in the direction she came, then marches up a gentle slope. She flips open her compass and studies it carefully. Moving on, she hikes up the nearest ridge. Robin feels her brow. Sharing her perspective, we peer into the distance, finding no sign of her camels or camp as we scan the broad horizon. She turns around, looking over the rest of the landscape.
Diggity! Hey, go home! Go on! Go home!
The dog begins to walk, but soon turns back.
Home! Diggity, go home!
With a turn of the head, Diggity sets off again. Robin follows.
Go home! Go on, go home, Dig!
The black dog glances back at her.
Diggity, go home!
Diggity quickens her pace, following an unseen trail. Robin wearily trudges on. Giggity crests another ridge, revealing the flats where they left the camp. A camel rises to its feet.
We're back! Did you miss me?
Joyfully, Robin plays fetch with her dog.
Come on, Gab.
She pets her camels.
Good cow. Hello. Hi. Hi. Come on, girl. Come, Gab.
She leads a camel by its rein. The animal lowers to its knees, and she rubs its neck. She leads another camel over to the camp. As Diggity plays on the flats, Robin lowers the second camel as well. She goes through her supplies, then notices a figure in the hazy distance. She walks toward the distant figure with a befuddled expression, leaving her camp behind. As the figure takes shape, Robin finds a wild camel running toward her. She hurries back to her camp and grabs a stick. Waving it overhead, she charges the wild beast.
Go away! Go away!
She stops short, finding no sign of the camel, but only a small dust devil twirling across the flats. She drops her alarm clock on the ground. Now the caravan moves on, casting long shadows across the cracked, dry ground. The image dissolves to a dotted line on Robin's map. Robin pours a cup of water from a jug, then takes a sip and offers some to a camel. They march on through the desert, kicking up dust along a trail. Beyond them, the desert sprawls far into the distance, extending for miles. Silhouetted by the setting sun, the caravan passes a bare tree. Fade to black. Now, day 124. In the distance, the caravan fades into view. Robin fills a canteen from a metal jug, then drops the jug on the ground. She leads her camels up a hill and surveys the barren landscape ahead. With an anxious expression, she shifts her gaze. Later, sleeping under the stars, her closed eyes move behind her eyelids. On a dirt road, the yellow dog runs toward an open ambulance parked in front of a rural house. With a crestfallen frown, Robin's father approaches and kneels down. Framed by an open doorway, an electrical cord hangs like a noose. Her back turned, Robin sways under the gleaming sun.
I think she's hiding in there.
Her sandaled feet step over brush and rocks. A scarf draped over her head undulates in the wind. Squinting, she takes off the scarf, revealing a thick rope in her hands. With strands of her stringy hair blowing in the breeze, she peers at her surroundings. She wears a faint smile, her face sunburned and caked with dirt. Turning in our direction, she takes a step forward. Our view follows her footfalls. A view of her bare upper back reveals a stretch of sunburn across her shoulders. She comes upon a water canister and smiles softly. At night, a bright light shines through the darkened brush. Robin awakes and spots an approaching figure.
Hey, is that the camel lady?
A man comes into view wearing a jumpsuit and helmet.
Oh, g'day. Oh, fire's nice, hey? I've been following your tracks since Warburton. Yeah, I'm going for an overland record. Flat chat out of Bundaberg, straight shot to Ningaloo, non-stop, mate. Reckon I'm the first. I'm going to be famous. Suzuki TS400. Bike of the future. You like bikes? Nah, you like camels? Yeah, nice. Yeah, gives you a chance to see the scenery, eh?
Me, all I want to see is this bloody desert. It's a freaking blur.
In the morning, Robin wakes with a start, then peers across the empty desert. Her camels rest nearby. Our view follows a dusty trail, then pans for a glimpse of a long wire fence. We drift over a dead cow lying on its side. Robin parks her camels near a small reservoir and an old windmill. Thin scarves hang from a clothesline. An old woman sweeps the front porch of her house. The old woman notices Robin, who stands about 30 yards away with her camels. Stepping out from her porch, she eyes the visitor curiously.
Hello, dear. Nice to see you. Will you come in for tea?
Inside the house, Robin eats with the old woman and her husband.
Where are you from?
I grew up on a cattle station near Darling Downs.
I'm not a Queenslander, right? What'd you run?
Hereford, about 500 head.
The old man shakes his head.
Hard country, then. Reckon she copped a share of drought, eh?
7 years.
The old woman looks out a window.
Muster through it, did you?
We went broke and lost our home.
The old woman shifts her thoughtful gaze. Later, our view drifts outside through an open doorway. With her guests sitting in an outdoor bathtub, the old woman washes Robin's hair, pouring a jug of water over her head. She scrubs Robin's ears with a sponge. Later, Robin finds a dusty record from a cabinet. Sitting at a coffee table, she plays Scrabble with the older couple. A fire burns in a hearth. The old woman washes dishes. Robin's hand finds a piano. Our view rises to the young woman's profile. She looks up from the keyboard and finds a number of framed family photos on top of the piano. Looking over her shoulder, she notices something. Then she crosses to a few more framed photos on a wall. Now she lies in a small bed.
Your mother's dead, darling.
Wearing a suit, her father sits in a corner with a yellow dog.
You're going to have to live with your Aunt Jillian from now on. I'm sending your sister to boarding school.
Young Robin stands by a window.
Is Cody coming with me?
No, darling, there's no room for it there.
Will I be able to visit her?
No, darling. We're going to have to put it down.
Now an adult, Robin finds the chair where her father sat empty, with Diggity lying on the floor. She lowers her sorrowful gaze. Outside.
After that, you join up with the canning at World 10. Follow this track here. I reckon you're 3 weeks or so out of William.
It's a little something to keep you going.
The old woman hands Robin a sack.
Thank you. Both.
Robin hugs the old woman. She hugs the old man and smiles. Setting out with her camels, she waves.
Hi.
Watching her go, the older couple wear concerned expressions. Now our view drifts over a surface of jagged rock. We pass over a deeper canyon, which soon gives way to another rocky plateau. Robin treks through the desert with her caravan, a thoughtful smile on her face. Diggity stands ahead at alert.
Hey. Uru. Uru.
She stops her camels. Diggity barks near the corpse of a kangaroo.
Hey, good girl, you found dinner.
Robin kneels over the corpse with her knife, then remembers Eddie.
Wendy. Woman of right to law. Woman of right to law.
She glances around, then sheathes her knife and steps away from the corpse.
Come on, Dig. Come on.
Flies swarm the dead kangaroo. Now beyond a wood post, Robin continues her trek through the desert. Our view shifts to the left, finding a few dead animals hanging by thin leather straps. With a campsite set up around a lone tree, Robin eats dinner by a fire. Diggity sits with her. She lets the dog lick her fingers.
That's one girl.
That's all there is. No more.
She chews the last of her meal. Later, with her radio near her head, Robin lies with Diggity by the fire. The camels sit nearby. Beyond them, the sun dips below the horizon. By herself, Diggity runs off into the desert. A full moon looms large over the darkened horizon. The moon gleams high above the lone tree. Now Diggity returns, licking a sleeping robin's ear until she stirs.
Dig.
The dog walks off, and Robin grabs a flashlight.
Dig! Come here, girl. Diggity!
As she searches the area, her light finds an empty bottle of strychnine on the ground.
Dig! Come here, girl.
Nearby lies an animal corpse.
Dig! Diggity!
Robin finds Diggity foaming at the mouth.
Diggity! Diggity! Hey, Diggity! Diggity, come here! Come here!
She grabs the dog and shines the light into her mouth.
Come on, girl, come on! Come on, girl, spit it out!
She shines the light into the dog's mouth again.
No. Come on. Diggity, come on! Hey, come on, it's okay, you can be okay. Hey. Diggity!
In the daytime, Diggity lies on her side, breathing heavily. Robin shoots the dog and quickly turns away. The sun gleams over the camp, silhouetting the lone tree, which dwarfs Robin and her camels. Blood puddles over the parched earth. Breathless and crying, Robin stands with the wind in her face. In a flashback, young Robin carries her suitcase down the dirt road, turning back the way she came.
No.
The yellow dog tries to follow, but Robin's father grabs it by the neck.
Go away.
Goldie watches as she continues to walk away. She glances back once more before getting into the woman's car. Now Robin lies in the desert, watching gusts of sandy wind blow over Diggity's body. Nearby, one of the camels noses around a burlap sack and an empty metal can. The camel sniffs around Robin, who remains bundled in her sleeping bag. Under the bare, crooked branches of the lone tree, a large snake slithers over a sleeping Robin's throat. Robin remains perfectly still with her eyes closed as the snake, 6 feet in length or more, passes just under her chin. As the snake flicks its forked tongue, the image dissolves to a soaring aerial view of the desert. Now across a flat stretch of desert, with the horizon distorted by the heat, Robin's thin figure walks into view from the right. We follow her sandaled feet. She leaves shallow indentations in the sand with every step. In the nude, she stands with her back turned, her shoulders still marred from the sun. She shambles naked through the barren desert, her sandaled feet stepping over each other. Viewed from a distance, her figure wavers with the rippling heat. Sharing her perspective, we view the dry ground. With a blank expression, she looks up and spots her camels in the distance. Her lips part, and she turns to find the shadow of an airplane passing over the sand. The airplane flies overhead. Robin watches the airplane go. She stands before a thin, wispy tree. Now by a small fire, she sits wrapped in a blanket. Hearing the approaching vehicles, she crawls behind a shrub and hides. She spies several vehicles about 50 yards away on a nearby road. As they draw closer, she covers her campfire with dirt. Remaining hidden by the brush, Robin watches the vehicles come to a stop. She watches a group of men step out of the vehicles and approach her camels. Through the brush, she spots Rick's Jeep approaching. The photographer parks behind the other vehicles, steps out of his Jeep, and starts across the rugged terrain. Watching him, Robin emerges from the brush. Rick and the others take notice and begin to run in Robin's direction.
You okay? Hey, you okay? You all right? I've been trying to find you for over a week.
Carrying cameras and microphones, they surround her.
Calm down!
Robin recoils behind her blanket.
No, I understand. For a little space.
Leave me alone!
Stand back a little bit.
Go away!
She covers up. Later, Robin and Rick sit with her gear.
Where's Dig?
She's gone. Poison.
Now Rick flips through letters.
Here's one from London. Another from New York. Paris, Saigon, Singapore. Wow, I can't even read where that's from.
Doesn't matter anyway.
What doesn't matter?
Any of it. The trip's over. Tomorrow when we get to Waluna, I'm taking the train home.
The next morning, Robin rises from beneath her blanket to find Rick pouring coffee by the campfire. The shaggy-haired photographer meets her gaze. She looks over her surroundings. Finding no sign of the reporters and cameramen, She sits up a bit and brushes her hair from her face.
They gone?
Yeah. Now.
Later, Rick combs a tangle out of Robin's hair.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Now, as she stands with her back to him, he stares into the distance.
Rick?
They face each other.
I'm so alone.
We all are.
Robin shifts her distraught gaze, her chin quivering. Rick embraces her.
I miss her so much.
Sobbing, she rests her cheek against his shoulder. A wider view shows them standing in the middle of a scrubby field. Now the wind blows through Robin's hair as she leads her camels on through the desert. In the distance, she spots a cluster of houses. Farther down a dusty road, Rick plays with a group of children. He notices Robin and leads the kids in her direction, waving his hand overhead. Now the children ride Robin's camels, waving as she leads the animals in a circle. Rick takes photographs.
Smile. Smile. Big. Big.
Okay, ready?
Rides, yeah, we're gonna ride.
Some adult villagers join them, taking camel rides themselves. Following them, Rick carries one of the children on his shoulders. Now Robin reads a newspaper, The West Australian. The cover story features a photo of her camels and a portrait of her wearing a fedora. Sitting cross-legged on a blanket, she folds up the newspaper and opens an envelope. Inside, she finds a newspaper clipping about her journey, as well as a child's drawing of her and Diggity leading the camels through the desert. It reads, "The Camel Lady and Her Black Dog." Robin stares off into the distance. Now she ambles playfully across a ridge. As Rick prepares his camera, Robin steps from rock to rock.
I've been thinking.
Yeah?
I want to finish what I started. You know, but I can't face those reporters again.
Oh, I can go ahead of you into town and say that one of your camels is sick. Then it won't be better for 6 weeks. Trust me, none of them will be able to stay there for 6 weeks.
You think they'll go?
No, they'll be waiting for you at Carnarvon.
But I'm not going to Carnarvon.
I know.
At dawn, with her camel standing off in the distance, Robin stirs awake. She looks over her surroundings, with the wind buffeting her blonde hair. Sitting up, she posts her arms behind her back. Our view moves to the left, following the gently sloping line of the horizon.
In the desert, time is elusive. There were days when minutes dragged on for years, and the hours stretched for eons. It felt as if I was perfectly stationary, walking in place, pushing the world around under my feet.
We scan her map of the desert.
But time moves in one direction, always forward. So I decided to keep on walking no matter what.
The image of the map gives way to a vast expanse of sandy desert. Robin emerges on the upper left, leading her camels by the lead camel's rein. Words appear. Day 195. The caravan marches up a sandy dune and across a wide plain. Marching up another sandy slope, the camels form a line behind Robin, with baby Goliath in the back. Robin tugs on the lead camel's rein, urging it onward. In their wake, they leave a line of tracks across the sand. Robin looks up and spots a sandy peak. Tracks lead over a sandy ridge. We glimpse Robin's sandaled feet. She wears a pained expression. Crossing a valley, she turns back to her camels. With the sun on her face, she marches on ahead. Now barefoot, she leads her camels up another dune, the gown of her dress whipping with the wind. Cresting a final sandy cliff, we find a body of gently rippling water below. Stepping away from her lead camel, Robin overlooks the shore with a wide grin. Smiling to herself, she feels her brow. She reaches up and rubs a camel's neck. Then she plants a kiss on Goliath. On the beach, as Robin leads her caravan in our direction, we draw back to find Rick's sandy feet sticking out of his Jeep's open window. The photographer looks up from a book and grins. Robin beams at him. He approaches her and they embrace. He places his hat on a camel's head and the animal shakes it off. As one of the camels makes its way down to the water, Robin leads another by its rein. Baby Goliath joins them. Rick snaps photos from an inflatable raft. Robin wades into the water with Goliath. Standing in knee-high water, she reaches down and splashes the calf. Crouching in the water, she rubs the young camel's chin. With the camel standing by on the beach, Robin wades farther out on her own. Rick snaps more photos of her from his raft. Robin dives into deeper water and disappears under the surface.
I'd pared my possessions down to almost nothing. I had a filthy old sarong for hot weather, and a jumper and woolly socks for cold weather. I had something to sleep on and something to eat and drink out of. And that was all I needed.
Underwater, she swims toward us.
Like with any journey, it's not what you carry, but what you leave behind.
She smiles. Our view rises from the ocean floor to peer across the deep. Words appear. After completing her 1,700-mile journey, Robin wrote the article that accompanied Rick's photographs for National Geographic magazine. The overwhelming response to the story inspired her to expand it into the international bestseller, Tracks. A cover of National Geographic shows the real Robin Davidson with one of her camels. Over photos of Robin's trip, titles appear. Directed by John Curran. Produced by Emile Sherman, Ian Canning. Screenplay by Marion Nelson. Based on the book by Robin Davidson. A film by John Curran. Tracks. Mia Wasikowska. Adam Driver. Rainer Bach. Rolly Mintuma. John Floss. Robert Colby. Executive producers Andrew Mackey, Richard Payton, Xavier Marchand. Co-producers Antonia Bernard, Julie Ryan. Director of Photography, Mandy Walker, ASC, ACS. Production Designer, Melinda Doring. Editor, Alexandre De Franceschi, ASE. Composer, Garth Stevenson. costume designer Marriott Kerr. Casting, Nikki Barrett. Inspired by the photographs of Rex Smolin. Fade to black. Credits roll. Cast in order of appearance. Lily Pearl as young Robin. Mia Wasikowska as Robin. Philip Dodd as Publican. Fiona Press as Publican's wife. Daisy Walkabout as Ada. Rainer Bach as Kurt. Felicity Steele as Gladdy. John Floss as Sally. Ian Conway as Chilpi. Evan Casey as Evan. David Pierce as David. Jessica Tovey as Jenny. Darcy Crouch as Tolly. Brendan McLean as Peter. Jamie Timoney as Bernard. Melanie Zanetti as Annie. Adam Driver as Rick. Ryan McMillan as Bob. Leah Michelle as Niece. Emma Booth as Marge. Robert Colby as Pop. Stephen Parker as Pete. Leo Payton, Jed Payton as Young Boys. Brian Probitz as Jeff. Elsie Wanajora as Dancing Woman. Renee Kulitja as Dancing Woman. Happy Reed as Dancing Woman. Lydia Angus as Dancing Woman. Yvonne Iparti as Singing Woman. Awolari Tiame as Singing Woman. Edith Richards as Singing Woman. Vincent Forrester as Vincent. Roly Mantuma as Mr. Eddie. Tim Rogers as Glendale. Chelsea Haywood as Tourist 1. Andrew Harper as Tourist 2. Tom Budge as Suzuki Man. Edwin Hodgman as Mr. Ward. Carol Burns as Mrs. Ward. Chris Duncan, Ricardo Anasco as TV reporters. Stunt coordinators, Reg Rurdink, Chris Kemp. Stunt double for Mia Wasikowska, Jackie Murray. Morgan as Dookie. Mona as Zelly. Istan as Bub. Mindy as Goliath. Special Agent Gibbs as Diggity. Ziva as Diggity's stunt double. Mitch as Goldie. Sunburied, written by Rogers Lane Kent Hopkinson. Performed by UMI. Stardust, written by Hoagy Carmichael and Michael Parrish. Performed by Hoagy Carmichael. Orca, written by Rogers Lane Kent Hopkinson. Performed by UMI. The Road Train Driver's Song, written and performed by Buddy Williams. Hummingbird, written by Jay Seals and Dee Crofts. Performed by Seals and Crofts. Country Touch, written and performed by Buddy Williams. Weeping Willow Tree, traditional arrangement Tex Morton. Performed by Tex Morton. Traditional Song and Dance, performed by Pitshunshunshara women from Mutajulu and Kaltukajara. Reflection, written and performed by Garth Stevenson. Dark Red, written and performed by Garth Stevenson and Annie Lynch. Coming Home Song, traditional, performed by Roly Mantuma. Kangaroo Hop, written by Fred Godfrey and Billy Williams, performed by Mr. Billy Williams. Horizon, written and performed by Garth Stevenson and Annie Lynch. Flying, written and performed by Garth Stevenson. Dawn, written and performed by Garth Stevenson. Sunrise, written and performed by Garth Stevenson. UK distributor, Entertainment One. Australasian distributor, Transmission Films. Developed with the assistance of Screen West and Lottery West, www.westernaustralia.com. Financed with assistance from Deluxe. Financed in association with Adelaide Film Festival. Financed in association with Screen NSW. Financed in association with South Australian Film Corporation. Principal Development and Production Investor, Australian Government, Screen Australia. A Seesaw Films production. Copyright 2013. Seesaw Tracks Holdings Proprietary Company Limited. AP Facilities Proprietary Company Limited. Screen Australia, South Australian Film Corporation. Screen NSW and Adelaide Film Festival. This film is based on actual events. Dialogue and certain events and characters in the film were created for the purpose of dramatization. This cinematographic film, including the soundtrack thereof, is protected by the copyright laws of Australia and other applicable laws worldwide, all rights reserved. Any unauthorized copying, duplication, or presentation will result in civil and criminal prosecution. This cinematographic film is exhibited pursuant to specific licenses from the copyright proprietor and is not for sale.